tonight, just sort of a personal way. Life is something that you go through, and sometimes you go through it so fast that it just seems like gone, like that. And I've reflected and thought back quite frequently on my life and the things that God has juxtapositioned me from place to place to learn, and I've thought about the relationship that God has allowed me to develop with Him by His mercy and grace. I know sometimes that you listen to me and I get all heated up, particularly when I'm talking about certain subjects or certain things. And perhaps that's just my character. But I guess one of the reasons I get so heated up about the universal church is the same reason that a lot of Missionary Baptist preachers get heated up. If you destroy the local church concept, you destroy something that is basic to my life. You destroy something that's the truth, that I know the truth about, and it literally tears my soul apart. You've heard me mention many times about being saved, and you know how old I am now, and you know I'm 66, and I've been saved for 54 years, and I was saved when I was 12, scripturally baptized when I was 23. You can answer that question because I've told you so many times. But you know, when I was saved, I was placed in spiritual union with Christ. And you've heard me say that many times. And you know that it means that when you are born again, Christ comes to indwell you and you're placed in Christ, and a spiritual union is formed. And you become a child of God. You belong to God. You'll always belong to God, and you'll never be separated from God. Never, never. But a lot of people go through life after they're saved, and even after they're in the church, they never do understand what it is and what the relationship is supposed to be with Christ in it. So tonight, I hope I can define that by the leadership of God's Spirit in such a way that it'll take root in your heart as the truth and help you to appreciate more what you do have. To be saved is to become a child of God. But to unite with a local visible church is to make a commitment to God, to serve Him like a woman would serve a faithful husband that had been united together and had been placed in the presence of her husband and was there with him in that church. It's a very sacred union. If all there was to this was just being saved and having Christ indwell you and having you placed in Christ by an act of God, and all it was a big family of God, and there was no such thing as a church, you would never be put together in the presence of God's Spirit in a local place by an act of God in answer to your obedience through baptism, and you'd never know what commitment is. A lot of people don't want to make that commitment, and a lot of people, after they make it, they don't understand what it is. I know Daryl loves his wife, and I know that she loves Daryl. And I know that Kenneth and Donna love one another. I know that everyone is sitting here that are married. Sure, you have different degrees of arguments. Some of you are headstrong, and you argue like cats and dogs sometimes. But you love one another. You made a commitment. And when you made that commitment, you made a promise to one another. And you promise to be faithful to the one you marry. That's what the church is. It's where, as a child of God, you want to have a serious marital relationship with the one who saved your soul. Now, I'm going to talk about a subject that we can relate with earthly things, heavenly things. That's the way the Lord constantly taught. He always used earthly things so people could understand heavenly things. And I'm going to make my case from the Bible. But let's take something that has to do with an earthly relationship. After all this graphic stuff you've watched on television, you can't accuse me of being too brutal here. Physical marriage to a mate. What is spiritual marriage to a mate? Well, we're going to define adultery. as it pertains to physical marriage to a mate. What is adultery? Adultery is being unfaithful with someone else by loving them more. So a woman marries, and she goes to bed with another man. And she says, oh no, I really love my husband. No, you don't. You love the one you went to bed with more. Otherwise, you never would have gone to bed with him. And the same is true, vice versa. Adultery is being unfaithful to someone else by loving them more. That's physical adultery. Spiritual marriage to Jesus. When you got saved, he indwelt you, and you indwelt him, and he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. You were born again, you're his child. But church membership is a special relationship where you enter into baptismal waters. What do I do at every marriage ceremony I perform? I look over at the man and I say, wilt thou love, honor, and cherish her, be true and faithful to her, loyal to her as long as you both shall live? And the man says, I will. Then I turn to the woman, wilt thou love, honor, and cherish him, be true and loyal to him as both as you last shall live? I will. It's a commitment that the two make. Imogene and I have been married now for 43 years. We made a commitment. Physically, we've stuck to it. I've never known any other woman. Oh, I've looked. She's never known any other man. She says she's never looked. Maybe she hasn't. I believe her. I'll take her word for it. But the truth is, we've been faithful to one another physically. What is a spiritual marriage to Jesus? That's when you unite with one of his churches. When you go through those baptismal waters, why did you go through? You wanted to obey the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ that indwelt you. You wanted to testify to the world, I believe that this man who saved me is alive. And you picture to the world his death, burial, and resurrection, and you become a part of a local visible assembly. This is not imaginary. This is not some clever little story that's supposed to tickle your heart. This is the truth. This is what happens. And what happens when you go through the water? Does the water cleanse you? No. But what happens? What's waiting on the other side of the water? In whom you are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Do you see now why I preach so much and why I use that scripture? Jesus is here. He's in a local church. You say, well, he's in me and I'm in him. Yeah, that was true before you became a member. But when you come into the church, you're where your husband is. You're there because you wanted to be there. And you're there because his presence is there. Look, I love my wife very much. If you think I enjoy being away from her all these trips, you're out of your mind. And she loves me very much, with all my faults. If you think she likes for me to be gone all the time, you're quite wrong. We love each other. We want to be together. A person after they're saved ought to want to be where the Spirit of God says his habitation is. That's what a local church is. Spiritual marriage to Jesus. How do you commit spiritual adultery? Spiritual adultery is being unfaithful with something else by loving it more. Imogene's told me, if I ever had relations with another woman, she'd leave me. I don't think so. But she says she will, and that little rascal might. But she loves me. Oh, I'm not about to. She'd kill me before she did. But the truth of the matter is, I love her more than other women. She loves me more than other men. We stay together. It seems, I'm sure, at times to you, when I harp on this business of being faithful to God and his church, I'm just asking you from God's word to be where your husband is. To be where the one is that you've made that commitment to when you went through the water. I'm just asking you, wouldn't you like to be where your husband is? Wouldn't you like to be where the Spirit of Christ is? Wouldn't you like to be among God's people where he dwells? Brothers and sisters in Christ, adultery, spiritual adultery, is being unfaithful with something else by loving it more than the one you made a commitment to when you united with the church. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, when I went in those baptismal waters, I didn't have any more idea about that than Moody's goose. Not a single person sitting here did. And I certainly didn't.
All I did was, I knew this man had saved me. I knew he had died for me, and I knew he loved me. And I knew that I could never in any possible way repay him. I was just so grateful. I was willing to do anything he wanted. And I knew he wanted me to be baptized. For 11 years, I fought it. Not much of a faithful wife, am I? But finally, after 11 years, I said yes, and I put myself in a marital relationship with Jesus Christ by uniting with one of his local churches. I now have come to discover what the church is. And once you come to discover what the church is, it's a whole lot easier to love it and to be a part of it. Physical adultery. Genesis 2, 23, 24. This is physical adultery. This is something we can understand in an earthly teaching, something we can relate to. Genesis 2, 23, 24. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." After we were married, Imogene and I were physically joined in a marital union, a sexual union, if you will. And she came from her family. She loved her family. She had a certain way of living among her family. She cared for her mother. She cared for her father. There was a certain lifestyle and the way that she had with them. But when she married me, she made a commitment to me, and she became my wife. And we became one. And you're supposed to be one flesh. Your wife is supposed to be the most important physical relationship you have on this earth. And your husband is supposed to be the most important physical relation you have on this earth. And you are supposed to be one flesh together because you made a commitment one to another to stay together. After you got saved and the Spirit of God convicted you of a need to submit to the one who had died for you at Calvary. You knew, you didn't understand much, but just like me, you went through the water. And God placed you in the presence of his Son. And that commitment is meant to be a lifetime commitment. That's why we don't go back and rebaptize people once they've had scriptural baptism. Once you have an official wedding ceremony, and the official wedding ceremony is completed, and the state blesses it, just like the father blessed the wedding, it's permanent. And you don't have to keep running back to be rebaptized. Once you're united with one of his local visible bodies, you are brought into the presence of Christ who indwells that body because it teaches and preaches the truths of the one who died for you at Calvary. And you've made a spiritual commitment to him that you're going to be faithful to him in that church. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." When a woman unites physically with a man's body, she has left the lifestyle of her family and, as his wife, loves her husband. If she then loves another man's body more than her husband's, she commits physical adultery. That's the truth. That's what the Bible teaches. But when you became a member of one of the Lord's churches, this is not something where you were initially placed in union with him and he with you through a spiritual bond with God the Father through him that will never be broken. This was a commitment you made to someone who would never leave you nor forsake you and said, "I want to be a part of you. I want to be a part of you. I want to get as close to you as I can. I want to have as close a relationship to you as I can." And you married him. You may not have realized it, but when you submitted to him, you married him. Spiritual adultery. What is spiritual adultery? I'm going to do a series on the fifth chapter of Ephesians. And we're going to take a look at the relationship I'm supposed to have with Jesus Christ and you're supposed to have with Jesus Christ if you're a member of his church. Ephesians 5:32. Many preachers take this, and during marital counseling, they'll take it, they'll lay it out on a table, they'll say, now, here's your problem. You don't love your wife like you should. They'll tell the wife, you're not obeying your husband like you should. You're not in submission to him. And they'll use it for marital counseling. Is that good? Man, that's great. That's tremendous. But that's the secondary use of that. Because the important use of that, the fifth chapter, from about chapter verse 21 on, is talking about a relationship between Christ and the individual church member. And I'll prove that to you in a moment. Ephesians 5:32. This is a great mystery. Well, after tonight, as a member of this church, if it was a mystery when you came in, by the grace of God, if you're willing to listen, it won't be a mystery anymore. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. How do I know that this fifth chapter, the last part, is talking about a spiritual relationship between Christ and an individual church member? And that's the primary application, as opposed to what it's normally used for, to tell married people how to live physical lives on this earth in spiritual, in physical union as husband and wife. How do I know that? Look at this next word. It tells you. Nevertheless, he said, in spite of everything I've been talking about has been concerning Christ and the local church and the individual members of it, nevertheless, in spite of that, he said, here's what I want you men and women to do. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Yes, from Ephesians 5:21 on, you use that for marital counseling, and that's great. That's what it should be used for. But the primary purpose of that was to let each one of us, certainly as pastor, myself included, how our relationship should be with Christ in his church, as someone who is married to him. I am married to Jesus Christ. Now the question is, how faithful am I going to be? Well, if he's in the midst of the church, in whom you are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit, Ephesians 2:22, and every time I have an opportunity to be where he is, and I'm not there, how faithful am I to him? When I first met Imogene, for the first time in my life, I was infatuated with love. Oh, I'd had puppy love. I'd had girls that I thought were just pretty hot stuff, and I'd like to be around them. But when I met Imogene, it was different. I had to be where she was. I couldn't stay away from her. I loved her, and I had to be where she was. Imogene would tell you, and I'd call her, and I'd say, honey, I've got, you know, this sore throat and everything. And she'd say, oh, you're not coming out. So I'd go. I'd go, because just being there with her was the greatest experience I'd ever had in my life, just physically being there with her. And I loved her, and I was fascinated by her. She was wonderful. Well, that's supposed to be the way you feel about Jesus. That's supposed to be the way I feel about Jesus. And if his presence is in the church and it's assembled together, that's where you're supposed to be, because that's where he is. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. He said, I'm using this to teach you about a relationship between a man and a woman. Now, I want to remind you that these were church members, and a lot of preachers skip over that. They tell a woman, you're supposed to be in obedience to your husband, and if he beats you and spits on you and verbally abuses you, you stay right there with him. Baloney. That's written to church members. Members of a church at Ephesus. And a church member who does that ought to be disciplined by the church, and he ought to be told, you're not coming down here to take the Lord's Supper until you get your life straight. If you think I'm going to tell a woman to live with a man like that, you got another thing coming. If he keeps doing it over and over again, I'll tell the woman, you find you somebody that'll love you. When a man or woman unites spiritually with Christ's body, the local church, they are to leave the lifestyle of the world from which they came and love his body. If they love the world more than his body, they commit spiritual adultery. What would happen, those of you males who are married, if all of a sudden you just packed up your bags and waved goodbye to your wife and disappeared, and she never saw you again. What do you think she would think about you? And what would she have a right to think about you? This is spiritual adultery, spiritual abandonment. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Egatalapontes, for forsaking, to utterly abandon with no intent of return. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, I'm not forsaking the church. I'm not abandoning the church. I'm just going to come when I feel like it. How do you think your wife would say if you called her and said, well, I won't be home next two or three days. She said, where are you going? Oh, I've got something else to do. More important than her, huh? No, friend. You're married. If you're a member of one of God's local churches, you're married to Christ. You made a commitment to Christ. And when you came to Christ and made that commitment, God meant for you to keep it. God will keep his part of the bargain because you've got a perfect husband. The question is, are you going to keep your part of the bargain? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Am I doing what God told me to do? Right now, I'm exhorting you to become more faithful to the one that you were married to when you made the commitment and became a part of his local church. Now, we went in Ephesians 5:32, and I'm going to continue this series. But when 8 o'clock comes, or 7 o'clock, I'm stopping. And I've got the thing laid out in the series, and I'll pre-warn you, we're going to be talking about this subject for some time, Lord willing. Church, spiritual adultery versus physical adultery. We're going to compare the two. Genesis 2, 23-24. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's what happened when you married Christ. You are supposed to be one. You are bonded together spiritually in marriage to Christ. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Christ saved us. And after he saved us and we were spiritually born again, we chose to unite with him in a local place where his spirit dwells. And we made a promise and a commitment to him that is even more sacred than the one we made to our husband or to our wife. It is a commitment that you made to God that you would be faithful to his son in his church when you entered the baptismal waters. It has nothing to do with salvation, but it has everything to do with what kind of a wife you're going to be to the one that you pledged yourself to. And I guarantee you, he is the head of the church. And I guarantee you, it's his body. And I guarantee you that when you're in that body, he wants you to be faithful. And I guarantee you, it wounds him and hurts him when you're not. If you came home and caught your wife in bed with another man, it would tear your heart out. The same thing is true in the reverse. Think how Jesus must feel the things that we do when we abandon him and when we have so little concern about the welfare of the others in the church and about our own personal relationship to it. And think how he feels when we have these little trivial things that come on in church that drive us away and make us irritated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not right. I'm in spiritual union with Christ, and when these things happen in my life, it just tears my soul out until I get it right with Christ. Let's take a look at verse 29. The Lord said concerning Adam and Eve, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now look at Ephesians 5:29, and remember what 5:32 said. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's what he's talking about. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Well, Daryl, even when you start to lose your hair, you still got the morning combing trying to look, make it look like you got as much as you have. I use that stuff that makes it now expand. I tell him, get that stuff, makes it look like I got more hair than I have. Now, every man loves his own flesh. Well, think how much more the Lord loves the church. He loves that local visible assembly. His presence is there. And when those people come out, they're there with him. You are here with Christ tonight. But very few people realize that. And very few people realize it's a spiritual reality. It's just something that they work out where they come to church. But you are in the very presence of the one who saved your soul, because he loves this church. He cares for this church. And he doesn't want a contentious wife. He doesn't want someone that has their own opinions, their own ideas, and they want him to change. In most marital relationships, the woman has to get the man to change, because most of the time the problem's on the side of the man, not the woman. And I confess that. But with Christ, there is no need for him to change. He wants to change you, so you'll be like him. And so you can have the kind of a union that he had in mind when he first saved you, and then you made the commitment to him, and here you are now. Being in God's church is a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're going to be faithful and be where he wants you to be, doing what he wants you to do. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. And notice what it says next. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Imogene and I have been physically together as one. Our bones, our flesh, our bodies have been mingled together physically to bring forth 7 children. But our bodies put together is much more than a sexual relationship. It is a blending together of 2 people who love one another and who have found the love of God in Jesus Christ, and who are bonded together by a common work and a common cause for the work of Christ in his church. Brothers and sisters in Christ, a lot of people don't understand what the church is. I thank God for my youth. I thank God when I was raised in those hills up there where all they had was the King James translation and the Holy Spirit, that they taught me what the church was. I thank God I understood what it was. I thank God I understood what a commitment was to it. Otherwise, I might never have been informed of it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God's Holy Spirit uses a lot of people to teach. That's what we are. So why should we run away? If you run away from your wife, it's because you don't love her. If you run away from your husband, it's because you don't love him. If you run away from his church, it's because you don't love his body. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. They shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Well, when Imogene and I got married, she had a good mother, real good mother. She had a wonderful father. And she loved them, and I loved them. But once we became one, we forged our own life together. We found our own relationships one with another. And we loved one another more than we loved our own families. And it's only late in life that we're learning to love Christ more than we love each other. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when you united with Jesus Christ, you were meant to be one flesh. And don't tell me that's not referring to spiritual relationship with Christ. It most certainly is. Because in the next verse it says this is the great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's what that's all been about. Can you use that for marital counseling between a physical man and a physical woman? 2 church members, you certainly can and should. Because he says, nevertheless, he says, in spite of the fact that everything I've been talking about has to do with the relationship between a church member and Christ, he said, you can use this in marital counseling. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. That's what you do when you come to church. When you come into the presence of Christ, as the body assembles together, you are showing reverence for the one who died at Calvary, whose blood trickled down the cross, who offered up his life as a living sacrifice for you. And the moment you received him as Savior, there was a spiritual bond between you and the Father through him that could never be broken. And when you, in obedience, submitted to baptism, you became a part of one of his local churches. And there he wants you to grow up. He wants you to see the things that are wrong with you. He wants me to see the things that are wrong with me. And he wants to transform us into the type of a partner
a type of a wife where we think like he does, we love like he does, we care like he does, and he does it with his word. For Christ loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious bride, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. In Mark 24, we're told, and they said Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement. That's Mark 24. And here comes verse 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. He said he didn't do this because he thought it was a great idea. He said it was because of the hardness of your heart that he allowed Moses to put away a woman. Now let's talk about what it meant to write a bill of divorcement. Here's what it was entailed. He'd see another cute little trick walking down the street, wiggling her backside, and he'd say, I like that better. And he'd write the one he was married to a bill of divorcement and put her away. This wasn't one of those things where they had severe disagreements. They didn't have severe disagreements back then. The man said, you do this, and the woman had to do it, or they, bingo. You say, well, that's not right. I know it's not right, but I'm just telling you the way it was. When he saw something he liked better, he just wrote out the bill of divorcement, took it to the priest, bingo. That was the end of it. So let's consider what kind of a divorce thing this was. Now look at verse 9 in Mark 29. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. The reason that I say the devil's greatest magnificent accomplishment has been to interject in true churches the idea that the church is both universal and invisible. Because if he can get you believing that you're tied to all the other believers out there in the same kind of a relationship that he meant for you to have in a local church through baptism, properly administered the way he said, in obedience, the proper marriage ceremony. If a marriage ceremony is performed by someone who's not authorized by the state, it's not valid. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And when God puts a person in the church, God does not want any other effort by mankind to separate that person from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And in his house, verse 10, continuing in Mark 20, 10, his disciples ask him again of the same matter. And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. When you quit worshiping the one who saved you in the place where his spirit dwells, and you leave that place and go to a place where his spirit does not dwell, or you go back to your old ways in the world, you are writing a bill of divorcement, and you are divorcing the one who saved you, and you are going back to something other than a thing that pleases him. I want you to notice what he says in Exodus 20, 2 and 3. I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. The Pharaoh is, in the Bible, definitely without question a type of the devil. And the Egyptian bondage is a type of has to do with spiritual darkness. They're used as types. When they were under the bondage of the Pharaoh, they were in bondage to the Pharaoh. And God delivered them by a mighty work, a miraculous work. And they followed after Moses as he parted the waters of the Red Sea. When God saved your soul and when God saved my soul, it was an act that is so fantastic it is beyond human understanding. God saved your soul and Christ came to live there. And you were placed in Christ and you were born again. And he brought you out of the house of bondage, out of the snare of the devil. And you were no longer under bondage to Satan, but you were set free by the blood of Christ. Women are always looking for a man coming along on a white charger. They're always looking for the perfect husband. Oh, if I just had the perfect husband that would come and rescue me. I have the perfect husband. His name is Jesus Christ. And he is my prince on the charger. And he delivered me from eternal damnation in hell. And now I'm committed to him and his church. I know who he is. I know what I am. And I know where he dwells.
And I know what the church is, and I know what God meant for the church to be. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, spiritual adultery is when there is something else in your life that is more important to you than the one in which you've been placed in a marital relationship in His church. And when there's something out there in the world that's more important to you, you've got another god in front of Him. Oh, it's not an idol where you just fall down and worship it. It's something that controls your heart, and where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When I leave here and I go out on these trips, there's no question where my physical heart is. My physical heart is right over here with that sweet little lady who's grown old with me. That's where my heart is. Brothers and sisters in Christ, on Sunday, I love Sundays more than any other day of the week, because I'm in the presence of Jesus Christ right here in the midst of you, and God is using me by His Spirit and is blessing me and giving me a feeling inside that I wouldn't trade for anything on the face of the earth. People base a lot of things on feelings. When I'm doing what God wants, and when I know that the Spirit's leading me, and I know that I'm presenting God's Word correctly, and believe me, the Spirit testifies to my heart when I am, then that is the time of ecstasy in my life. That is the time when I'm feeling that I'm being used of God. I have no power of my own, but I know He's there, and I know He approves of it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a great deal to be said for a faithful relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what does it mean to commit spiritual adultery? Here's what it means. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You were brought out of the house of bondage. You were bought and paid for on the slave block by Jesus Christ. And what He paid the devil for you with His own blood, what He bought you back with was His own blood. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know what the love of the Father is? Accepting the message and the one whom He sent. You can't get any closer to Jesus than you can get in one of His churches. You can't get any closer to Him, because in the church dwells all the fullness of God. It is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Why don't you want to be in His presence? What is the reason in your life that makes you love the world more than you love His Father? If you love His Father, you're going to love His Son, and you're going to honor His Son. Jesus said, I receive not honor from men, but He does receive honor from men in His local church. Well, this is the last scripture, and I'm going to close. What have I been talking about? Spiritual adultery versus physical adultery. I got saved 54 years ago, but it was 11 years before I entered into a relationship with Christ that is a parallel, or at least an illustration, or a type of marriage. I made a commitment. I went through the waters of baptism, not to be saved, but because I was saved, but because this man had so impressed me that finally, whatever he wanted, that's what I wanted. Since that time in the church, there's been a washing of my life. There's been a changing of my attitudes. God forbid that I should even insinuate to you that I'm some type of a goody-two-shoes and I've reached some high spiritual plane. God forbid. But I will tell you that the Lord in the church has continued to wash me. He's continued to change my attitudes. I've gotten to know Him. I love Him. I really love Him. And as I grew to love Him, I grew to love you. How stupid that I could not figure that out. But as I grew to love Him, I grew to love you. It really shouldn't have been so shocking to discover that, but that's what it's all about. Because in growing to love Him, He loves you, and I can't help but love you because of the Spirit of Christ that's in me. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. You can't be married to two different men either. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. Alan Blackford delivered an excellent message here one time, one of the best I've ever heard on that particular passage of Scripture. It's a very valid point. And the point it's asking and making is simply this. Are you going to have a relationship with the one in the church, in His presence here,
Are you going to be true and faithful and loyal to Him? Are you going to go back to the world? And are you going to wave goodbye to Him? Are you going to be faithful to Him? I'll tell you one thing about Him. He's certainly been faithful to you and to me. He'll always be faithful to us. But He says to us, you want to be faithful to me? Well, that's your choice and that's your decision. That's something you have to decide. As Johnny comes, as Kay comes, we're going to have a song, invitation. We're only going to have one stanza. If God's dealing with your heart tonight, ask yourself, why is God dealing with my heart? Because Christ loved you and gave Himself for you. If God's dealing with your heart and you feel you should come tonight, don't tell Him no. Just come. There are no magic words you have to say. Just come. God knows. God understands. You come. What number?